It's a joy to welcome you to our services on this Lord's Day evening from where I'm standing tonight. It looks like we've got a decent crowd with us tonight, and for that, we're thankful. I know our young professionals group, Michael and Amelia, and that group, I think, are still out of town, making their way back from their retreat. And this morning, I know we had several who were gone. I know Wetumpka's has a gospel meeting this week, don't they, with Kenneth Randolph. And when does that meeting go through? Oh, it's different speakers? Okay, I knew your dad spoke today, so I thought he might be speaking the whole week. But anyhow, just keep in mind that meeting. And I know several over there to hear Brother Randolph today, and we certainly are glad that some of these folks are back with us tonight. It's good to see Larissa back there, and I think she has a guest she just picked up. Little Molly May is here for the very first time. And this is her first of many naps while I preach, I'm sure. And it's good to see her, and we're glad that they're both doing well. Tonight I want to talk about something that I believe is a great challenge for us as Christians, a challenge that we always need to keep in the forefront of our minds. I want to talk about overcoming temptation. In particular, how we can overcome temptation. Now, I know when you first look at me, this may seem hard to believe, but I am a person that goes to the gym 5 days a week. I run 3 miles every day during those 5 days, and even do some weightlifting on some of those days as well. But I also can prove scientifically, and I'm a good case study, that unless your calorie intake is less than the calories you burn, it's still not going to get the results that you desire. A couple of weeks ago, I really wasn't feeling too well. I don't really know why, so a couple of 3 days, I didn't go to the gym. Just didn't feel like it, didn't put forth the effort to go. Had this meeting coming up last week, and I thought, well, I'm just going to not do anything till this meeting's over Thursday night, and I'll come home, and over the weekend, I'll get my mind in the right frame, and I'm going to get ready to do away with the sweets for a while and kind of watch it just a little bit. Well, that mentality came to a screeching halt when my wife uttered those words yesterday morning. I put a banana pudding in the refrigerator for you. So tonight when I go home and finish up that last batch of banana pudding, then my mind will be focused on what it needs to be. See, I was tempted strongly. There's no way I'm going to give up my wife's banana pudding and just let it sit there and watch those bananas rot. That's just not going to happen. But spiritually speaking, temptation is tough. It's tough to deal with temptation. It's difficult. Satan is our adversary. We read about him tonight in 1 Peter 5 in verse 8. And he's described as our adversary for a reason. He wants to devour us. He's like a roaring lion. He doesn't take off. He doesn't rest. He is relentless in his pursuit of you and me. And if we're going to be successful in dealing with the temptations that Satan thrusts upon us, then we're going to have to take the advice that God gives us in his word. And when it comes to being victorious over our temptations, we need to realize that God always provides. He always makes the way for escape. I direct your attention tonight to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning in verse 13, where the Bible says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." Now, all that means is that any temptation that you're dealing with, any temptation that you face, any problem that comes your way, that's something that other individuals have dealt with, and are currently dealing with, and they are being successful in overcoming that problem or temptation. And so the text says there's nothing that you are going to deal with that's not currently being dealt with by other people who are being successful with God's help in overcoming that temptation. And then the text says, and I think these three words are the foundation for everything, but God is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. I believe that verse right there ought to give us a world of confidence as we deal with our adversary. We have the assurance from God's word that God is not going to allow Satan to tempt us more than we are able to handle. God tells us that he's going to be there for us, he's going to help us. And when we face situations in life that make it so difficult to do what's right or that discourage us, we need to think to this verse. And when we feel like maybe quitting or giving up, we need to realize, I can handle this. God is not going to put on me more than I can bear. And so tonight, let's think about how we can be victorious over temptation with God's help. May I suggest, first of all, tonight, that we need to have the attitude that we're going to flee from temptation. Whenever I think about the word flee, I think about what happened to me the other day when I went out to the outbuilding and some red wasps dropped out of a nest and began to fly around. I think I might have broken a speed barrier running out of that building. I fled the scene to make sure I was not going to be stung by those wasps. I got out of there as quickly as I could. And when it comes to temptation, when it comes to sin, we can't stand around and rationalize with it and argue with it. We have to get away from it. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 18, flee fornication, flee sexual immorality. We have the example of Joseph back in Genesis when Potiphar's wife tempted him to be sexually immoral with him. He got in a situation that it would be very easy for him to compromise his convictions. And Joseph, a young man that had great faith in God, didn't stand around and argue about it. The Bible says he left his garment in her hand and he got himself out. That's how you deal with temptation. In particular, that's how you deal with sexual temptations. Now, there is no doubt about it. It doesn't take very long at all just to watch a little television, maybe watch a few billboards driving down the road, just to look and observe in our society that we are a sex-saturated society. Multi-billion-dollar businesses sell everything from hamburgers to deodorant to automobiles to sports equipment by using sex. It's everywhere. It's all around us. We would have to go off and hide somewhere in a cave to avoid it. And I really sort of feel sorry for our youth today. I know it was difficult in my time when I was growing up, but today it just seems like the restraints have just been almost completely lifted. Everywhere you turn, there is something to do with sex and sexuality. And when it comes to this kind of sin, the Bible says flee from it. I think about the problem of internet pornography. that certainly has its grips on so many young men today. It's a problem that really we're not dealing with, perhaps as we should, even in the church, because many times it's sort of a private thing. You know, it used to be years ago, if you wanted to be involved in pornography, you would have to leave your house and maybe go somewhere, but now you can get on your computer and right there in the privacy of your own home, anonymously, it's all right there for you. And internet pornography is a deadly, deadly sin that's destroying the lives of many people. But you have to flee from it. You can't argue with it. You have to get away from those things that would lead us to sin. The Bible says over in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 14, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, flee from idolatry." And to make application to us today, idolatry would be something that preoccupies our time and the things that we do in life over the things of the Lord that we need to be most concerned about. I think about materialism, for example. Money today has the potential to corrupt in so many areas, whether it's in business or in government or whatever the case may be. And some people just focus on accumulating money and material things. We have to avoid that. We have to stay away from anything that stands between us and the God that we are to love and to serve. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 22 to flee youthful lusts. And so I think that there's some good advice for us here tonight. To avoid temptation, to overcome temptation, we have to flee from it. And then let me suggest quickly in the next place that we need to be willing not only to flee from it, we have to count the cost. And that is, we need to develop the right perspective on life, the right perspective on eternity. You know, if an athlete wants to be good at whatever sport he participates in, that athlete has to count the cost. He has to be willing to watch what he eats. He has to give himself consistently to the workout routines if he wants to be successful. A student that really wants to be successful in a certain area of study has to exercise self-discipline, count the cost, be focused on what they want to accomplish. And in life, if we're going to overcome temptation, we have to look at things from an eternal perspective. We have to look at things, not as they're going to transpire here on this earth, but always consider every decision in light of eternity. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 16, "Therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is renewed day by day, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but instead we look at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. The things which are not seen are eternal." And so here Paul says that our vision, our focus, is going to be on one of two things. We can either focus on that which we can see, the here and the now and the physical, or else we can focus on our eternal destiny, on our future. That's why every decision that we make, whether it comes to who we date and who we marry or our occupation, every decision that we make in life needs to be made from this perspective. Where is this going to lead me in eternity? That must be paramount in every choice and every decision that we make. And we have to train ourselves to think along these lines, because it's so easy to get caught up in the here and the now. And, you know, many times the furthest we think is maybe retirement, and that's it. We've got to look at things from the perspective of eternity. We have a wonderful, encouraging example of someone who did this in Moses. As we look at Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now Moses was in a position in which he would be envied by the vast majority of our world today. Moses had power, he had wealth within the very palm of his hand, his for the taking. And yet the Bible says, by faith, looking for that city not made with hands in view, Moses made a decision. An easy one for him to make, a stupid decision for him to make in the eyes of most of the world today. But for Moses, with his perspective on eternity, he chose to do what God wanted him to do rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And then let me suggest as well tonight, if we're going to overcome temptation, we have to change the way we think as far as the desires that we have in life. We need to develop good desires. We need to fill our minds and our hearts with good things. The Bible encourages us to let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Over in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, Paul said, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble and just and pure and lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's any praise, think, dwell on these things." Jesus would say, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil things." You see, what is seen in my actions? What is seen in the words that I speak? First, we're in my heart, my attitude. What am I filling my heart with? Am I filling it with trash? Am I filling it with the dirt of the world? And if I'm doing so, that's going to be demonstrated by my behavior. Instead, I need to focus on spiritual things, those things that are pure and holy and just. Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." And then let me suggest as well, for the sake of time tonight, that we also need to be willing to pray if we're going to overcome temptation. Someone has said that Satan trembles when he sees the weakest of saints fall on his knees. Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew 6 and verse 13, "Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Jesus said in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 41, to watch, be alert, pray that you enter not into temptation. Now, as I said in the very beginning tonight, the devil is relentless. He's working on you right now. He's trying and scheming right now to get you to somehow forsake the Lord. He knows your weaknesses, and he's got a game plan to act on you even tonight. So Jesus said you got to watch, pray, realizing that God will give you the strength. And then let me suggest tonight as well, and as we close, that if we're going to overcome temptation, we cannot ever let your and our defenses down. We cannot let up for a single moment, because just as soon as we lower our guard, Satan is going to be right there. There's never a time when we're not going to be subjected to temptation. Sometimes we may think that Satan only tempts us when we're away from home, or Satan tempts us only in certain settings. But Satan can tempt us even when we worship him, like we are even tonight. He can tempt us by causing us to have an attitude maybe of indifference, even in our worship. There's many ways that Satan can gain the upper hand in our lives. The Bible over in Romans chapter 13, beginning in verse 11, says that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. And then down in verse 14, he said, make no provision for the flesh. Don't make it easy for Satan to gain the advantage of you. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 10, Paul talked to those brethren there about how that they needed to forgive one another, lest Satan gain the advantage over them. Now think about that. Satan can gain advantage even over you and me. Don't let your defenses down. Heard about an Indian one time, and this Indian came into contact with a missionary. This missionary taught him the truth. His name was Smiley. I don't know if that was his nickname or his regular name, but everybody called him Smiley because Smiley smiled everywhere he went. It didn't matter what happened in life. Smiley was always smiling. Well, Smiley heard the gospel. He was baptized into Christ, and a few weeks went by, and this preacher that had converted him noticed that Smiley had an upset look on his face. He wasn't smiling like he had always done. And he went to him and said, what's wrong? Why aren't you smiling anymore? You're a Christian. You ought to be smiling more than you ever have been before. Well, he explained. He said, you see, I feel like I've got these two dogs inside of me. And these two dogs are just tearing at my heart, one way and one the other. There's this white dog, and I know I need to do right, and it's compelling me to try to do right and what I know I need to do. And then there's this dark side, this black dog that is trying to pull me back into the world and into sin. And sometimes it just gets the best of me. I don't know what to do. And the preacher said, feed the white dog. And I think that's some good advice for us. We need to feed the spiritual side of our lives. We need to fill our hearts with good things, realizing that God has assured us the victory. The Bible says in 1 John 5 and verse 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. You see, we don't ever need to get to the point where we think that we might as well quit. We just can't make it to heaven. God has assured us of the victory. If we put our faith and trust in God and His Son Jesus Christ, we are assured of the victory. All we have to do is overcome. All we have to do is keep on keeping on. the one that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. I hope tonight that you're keeping on. I hope tonight that you haven't given up, that you've not allowed Satan to gain the advantage of you. Maybe tonight that you've never obeyed the gospel. Don't believe the lies of Satan that you've got plenty of time yet. If you need to obey the gospel tonight, you have the opportunity to come and demonstrate your faith in God by repenting of your sins, by confessing Jesus as God's Son, and even tonight, you can be baptized into Christ and all those sins can be washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. Tonight, if you're subject to heaven's invitation, we ask that you come now while together we stand and sing.